This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hey, join us in the fight against cancer by riding with Bulldog and WGR's Ride for Roswell team on Saturday, June 28th. Once you join our team, you're going to receive an email to pick up your team t-shirt and water bottle at Tom's Pro Bikes on Walden Avenue in Lancaster. Not a rider? You can still support the cause by donating to our team and helping us reach our goal of $10,000 before the ride. Visit WGR550.com. For more details, joining me on the West Her Hotline right now from the Rochester Democrat and Chronicle is Sal Mayorana. Sal, good to talk with you. And I just told our listeners we're going to be doing this a little more often. Sal's going to join me every Monday in this time slot throughout the summer. We'll talk Bills. We'll talk baseball. I'm looking forward to it, buddy.
As am I, Sal. Thanks for having me on, buddy.
You got it. You got it. All right. Let's talk about the Bills draft. Obviously, you were there all weekend. Give me maybe what you really liked about it and what you maybe could be questioning about it.
Yeah, look, I mean, we never know about a draft, Sal, until we get these guys on the field and see what they can do. But on paper, I really liked what the Bills accomplished over the weekend. Look, we all knew what the obvious needs were going into this thing. And I liked the fact that Brandon Bean agreed with us and he knew where he had to fill holes right away on day one and then day two. You know, I get you can find diamonds in the rough on day three. Obviously, Christian Benford would be the number one, Khalil Shakir. All those guys, great, fine, I love it. But you need, in those first 2 days, to get players who can come in right away, fill a need, and contribute. And I think, looking at what they did, all three of the guys they picked, I expect to come in and play significant roles on defense in 2025.
Yeah, I think so, too. And I just said a little while ago, tell me if you agree, one of the differences between this draft or others for me, the Bills have been very good under Brandon Bean at drafting the floor, right? They get guys, they develop them, they contribute. This feels like a draft where they took some swings, including first-round pick Max Hairston.
Yeah, absolutely. That's just what I said. I wanted the Bills to go ahead and do that. And I think Max Hairston, you know, I think, Sal, as the draft unfolded, you and I were sitting there, I think they would have gone defensive tackle if that run
yep.
hadn't happened.
Agreed.
After Kenneth Grant went, I think, way too high. But then there were like four that came off the board. I think they would have gone D tackle first. I'm not sure which one it would have been. I don't think it would have been Sanders in the first round. But anyway, once that happened, you know, the only cornerback outside of Travis Hunter that had gone was Barron, who I think was the best cornerback in this draft. Max Hairston was sitting there. And, you know, they passed on Will Johnson. It looks like we'll see if that's the right move or not. I mean, with the knee injury, he did go mid-second round. That might be something you look back on and think, well, they missed by not taking the risk. But Max Hairston was right there, and I think he was a projection late first, early second. And if they hadn't taken him there, it would have taken probably a bigger move up the board to get into the 30s to pick him in the second round. So take him right there. He's a fast kid, great athlete, not the ideal size you want, but if they can develop him, I think he can come right in and beat out Trey White and be the starter on day one.
Interesting. I want to get to corner in a second. Let me stay on the draft, though, and ask you if there's anything you either didn't like about what they did or didn't like about what they didn't do.
I think the one thing I would have tried to do is get a receiver a little bit early. And I know you guys have had a hot morning
yes.
at GR talking about receiver. I'm not disappointed that they didn't do it. Look, I think Josh Palmer is going to come in and be a solid player. I think he'll be better than Amari Cooper. I think he'll be better than Mac Hollins, too, although Mac played well for the Bills last year. I think the Bills have a decent enough wide receiver room. Now, we'll see what he does. I mean, as Bean always tells us, roster construction is a year-long thing. I know they've already got Elijah Moore in for a visit, so we'll see where that goes. I don't think they're done adding to the wide receiver room yet, But as it stands right now, they could go out and play a game today and have a pretty good group of four to go out there, plus you add Kincaid to the mix. So, you know, it would have been nice if you would have gotten a guy maybe in the fourth round who can return kicks and be a speed threat. It didn't happen, but I'm not going to kill him for that. Otherwise, I think he nailed everything. I love the pick. I'm sure we'll get to it. I love the Hodge pick in the fifth round. I mean, I heard you this morning, Sal, because I had you guys on when I was driving to get my coffee. You have the exact same thought that I did. This is going to be the guy that they're going to use as the sixth offensive lineman because, A, he's a great blocker in college. B, now you have a threat to actually sneak him out in the pass pattern, which Alec Anderson and the year before David Edwards didn't give you. That gives you a little bit more diversity on the offense. So I really like that pick.
Yeah, I do too. And for that very same reason, then Alec Anderson, who knows, could fight for an actual backup job. Even I don't know if he could really compete for a starter's job with David Edwards, but you never know, right? I mean, they like Alec Anderson enough. That being said, do you think it's too much? Let's go back to receiver for a second. Obviously, and I said this morning, as you know, the Bills are banking on Keon Coleman, Curtis Samuel, and Dalton Kincaid to be healthier and more productive. Is that too much to ask, or is that reasonable?
No, I think that's reasonable. I mean, Curtis Samuel got hurt early in camp, and he just never seemed to find – you know, he's a new player coming into the offense, and I just think he missed too much time in the, you know, in the OTAs portion, the training camp, to really find his niche in the offense. So I expect in year two – that's a veteran player who's been around a while. He should be able to find his niche in this offense as long as he stays healthy. Kincaid, look, there's a big spotlight on him, a player that the Bills drafted or traded up to get in the first round 2 years ago. Pretty good rookie season. I actually expected more in his rookie year than most people did, I think, because he caught a lot of balls, but I don't think the downfield threat was there. But then obviously last year was the injury really set him back. I think there's a lot of pressure on him to become the guy the Bills thought they were drafting 2 years ago. So I think you get him more involved, that raises everybody in that wide receiver room because he's an extra threat. So those are two key players. And then you add Palmer, who I think, Sal, should be an upgrade over both, like I said, Cooper and Hollins. I think Josh Palmer, he was a guy that I thought of in February. I'm looking at who they might sign. And I was one of the people, I'm sure there were others, who said, yeah, Josh Palmer would be a good fit here. And bang, they got him on the first or second day of free agency. So I like that move a lot.
Sal Mayorana joining me here on the Western Hotline. All right, you brought it up. You said Tre'Davious White. We talked about the moves they made and the secondary throughout this process, free agency and the draft. They go out and draft Jordan Hancock. He can play both safety and nickel. They draft Dorian Strong. He can play outside mostly, a little bit inside. They already signed Dane Jackson, Tre'Davious White. Then you have Max Harrison, of course, the first guy they take in this draft who probably has the inside track. How does all this shake out? Let's not forget about Jamarcus Ingram. Of course, he's on the roster. They really like him. Cam Lewis is a backup nickel. What about that competition? How do you see all this kind of shaking out as we get through August?
Yeah, look, the Bills tell us all the time that competition is what they're looking for at every position, and they clearly have made it a competition at cornerback. You know, the moment they started signing Trey White and Dane Jackson, Sal, I felt like, yeah, they're definitely going to add a cornerback in the first or second round, and they are hedging their bets that if the kid can't come in right away and play, they've got two veterans that they trust who have been in Buffalo outside of last year for a long time. You know, it would not surprise me if Trey White is the starter in week one. That just wouldn't surprise me at all. They love him. They know what he can do. If he can stay healthy, he's only 30 years old. It's not like he's an old man. He can still probably play and at least give Harrison the runway if he doesn't quite make it in training camp to become the starter. Dane Jackson is a nice backup to have behind Christian Benford. So I think they've set it up nice, and then we'll see what the two later round kids can do. I like the Hancock pick. You know, they've had Cam Lewis in that hybrid role for a long time here. If Hancock can come in and be the backup nickel and be a special teams demon, which I think he's going to be, then you just have Cam Lewis playing as a backup safety, a special teams guy. I think it's a better role for him. So I like the competition they've added in the secondary all the way around.
Are you surprised they did not draft a linebacker or a running back?
I wouldn't say I'm surprised. I think definitely at running back, Sal, I have no issue with that. They've got three guys on the team this year. You don't need to roster four running backs. So next year, they can, if James Cook is going to be gone, they can get a running back in next year's draft. That's a position where a rookie can come in pretty much right away and play. We just saw it with Ray Davis last year. He came right in and was a nice backup for them. They can address running back next year. Linebacker, I see the point. You've got Matt Milano probably going into his last year. But you know what? They've got Dorian Williams, who they like a lot. He'll be going into his last year in 2026. So they're covered at least for a little while. I understand the depth issue. There really isn't much behind those top three. But again, we'll see. You know, when teams start cutting players in August, Sal, there might be a guy that comes available that they can plug right in. So I'm okay with not picking either position in this draft.
Sal Majorana, Rochester Democrat and Chronicle, and noted Yankee fan. He's got his Yankees newsletter we could talk about and tell everybody that they should subscribe. This is free and it's amazing, so you should get on that. And the Yankees had a really nice weekend. Not a good Friday. We were in the media room, you and I. I said to you, I go, Sal, are you watching this? Man, the smoke that was coming out of your ears when Devin Williams blew that save again. They did ultimately turn it around 16 to 3, whatever it was, that they beat the Toronto Blue Jays over the weekend. What did you think about the weekend for the Yankees?
Yeah, look, Devin Williams has been a disaster. There's no way around it, and they finally recognized it, and Boone, you know, demoted him. He's no longer the closer. When he came over from Milwaukee, man, Sal, I thought, here's the best closer they've had since Mariano retired more than a decade ago. The kid was great in Milwaukee, and for whatever reason, you know, I've done a lot of reading, and the reporters down there have even said, from spring training, you could tell he just wasn't real comfortable. He looked at the media corps down in Tampa there, and he was like, wow, it's like a major change from Milwaukee. And they've even said, a couple guys have said, he's remarked about that again during the season. So he looks like a guy who just might not be comfortable in the bright lights of New York, and clearly it's affecting him on the mound. He just has not pitched well. So I hope he can figure it out, because he can still be a weapon for them. Right now they're fine with Luke Weaver at closer. Their bullpen actually has been pretty good outside of him. So that was unfortunate Friday night. That was a game, you look back, one of my favorite sayings, and you know, Sal, every game counts. I don't care that there's 162. Every game counts, and that's a game that should have been a win, no doubt about it, and it was a loss. So at the end of the year, you start looking back at the games that, yeah, they should have won that game. So we'll see. I love Sunday. Sunday was beautiful. Yeah. They played really well. A couple of their struggling hitters finally started hitting the ball, Austin Wells in particular. So, yeah, let's hope it's a good sign moving forward.
Before I move on to, real quick, a couple other teams, Sal, what Aaron Judge is doing this year is unbelievable. It really is. I mean, he's hitting .406 and has an on-base percentage of .500.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny, too, because last April, I mean, we're at the same point last year when he turned it around. I think it was April 27th, actually, when his turning point came, because he had a terrible first month. Well, it's the exact opposite this year. He has come out guns a-blazing, which is nice, because, let's face it, a lot of people, including me, were pretty disappointed after what happened in October. He was not good for them, and that was part of the reason why, you know, I don't think they would have beaten the Dodgers anyway, but that was one of the reasons why it was only a five-game series. So he needed to come out fast. He's done a great job so far. He really is the best hitter in baseball, Sal. I mean, there's other guys for sure, but nobody has the combination of all this guy can do when he's right. So he's carried them, because their offense, outside of Judge and a couple other guys, they have a lot of guys who are scuffling. So he really has carried them.
All right, and then finally, give me 30 seconds on Howard Simon's Mets and a lot of other people's Mets here in Western New York.
Yeah, look, the Mets have gotten off to a really nice start. I don't think anybody could have imagined their pitching would be as good as it's been, especially since they lost, you know, Manaea and Montas were supposed to be in the rotation at the start of the year. They haven't even pitched yet. Senga has come back really well from his injury last year. He's been sort of their ace over there. He's pitched great. Yeah, their pitching, if it holds up, they are a very good team. Soto is, we all knew Soto would come around. He started off pretty slowly, but yeah, he's Juan Soto. He'll be fine. And Pete Alonso, man, the guy who nobody wanted in the offseason, he's been one of the best players in the National League so far.
Sal Majorana. All right, everybody, go to Sal's Twitter page. That's where you're going to find his link to Pinstripe People, his free Yankees newsletter. It's amazing. Talks about other baseball, but mostly focuses on the Yankees. It's awesome. You will not be disappointed. At Sal Majorana on Twitter. And, of course, he has his full draft recap and final thoughts and analysis on the Buffalo Bills at the Democrat and Chronicle. It's right there as well. Sal, every Monday we're going to do this, and I really appreciate you, buddy. Thanks a lot.
And I love having me on, Sal. Thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
You got it. You got it, buddy. That is Sal Majorana. Every Monday in the summer at 10:30 a.m., we're going to talk with Sal about the Bills and about baseball. Had to squeeze some baseball in today, even though it's mostly about the Bills for sure. We're going to get more into that when we come back after this time out on WGR. 11 o'clock and 11:15, we got a couple guests coming to talk about a couple of the Bills draft picks. Your calls in the meantime here in the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.